Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Taking the Path of Zen by Robert A. Ken is a practical, down-to-earth guide to Zen Buddhist practice, written by one of the most influential Western Zen teachers. A. Ken presents Zen not as an exotic philosophy, but as a lived discipline shaped by meditation, ethical commitment, and relationship with the teaching lineage. The book introduces core Zen elements such as Zazen, sitting meditation, koans, chanting, and mindfulness in everyday life, while also explaining how Zen developed from Indian Buddhist roots to China and Japan and into modern Western communities. A. Ken emphasizes that Zen training is both personal and communal, involving a teacher, a sangha, and regular practice over time. Readers can expect clear explanations of basic concepts like emptiness, non-duality, compassion, and precepts, along with guidance on common obstacles and misunderstandings. The overall aim is to help newcomers orient themselves and help experienced practitioners refresh their understanding of what consistent practice requires. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, what Zen is and how it arrived in the West. A key topic in the book is orientation, what Zen is, what it is not, and why it looks the way it does. A. Ken places Zen within the broader Buddhist tradition while highlighting Zen's distinctive emphasis on direct experience, simplicity, and disciplined practice. He sketches the historical movement of teachings and institutions across cultures, from early Buddhism to Chinese Chan and Japanese Zen, then to Western practice communities. This background is not presented as trivia, but as a tool for understanding why certain forms exist, such as sitting posture, robes, chanting, and formal roles in a Zen center. He also addresses how translation and cultural adaptation can create confusion, for example, when people treat Zen as a lifestyle brand, a purely psychological method, or a rejection of ethics and ritual. By showing Zen as a living lineage with specific aims, he helps readers evaluate teachers, communities, and claims they may encounter. The topic invites readers to see Zen practice as a careful blend of inherited forms and modern application, where respect for tradition supports clarity rather than rigidity. This context helps newcomers enter practice with realistic expectations and helps experienced practitioners reflect on how their practice environment shapes understanding. Secondly, Zazen as the foundation of training. Another central topic is Zazen, the sitting meditation practice that anchors Zen training. A. Ken explains how Zen is more than relaxation or concentration, and instead functions as a steady return to direct awareness. He describes practical aspects such as posture, breathing, and attention, while emphasizing that the point is not to manufacture special states, but to meet experience honestly. This includes learning to sit with restlessness, boredom, self-criticism, and the urge to measure progress. He also clarifies common misunderstandings, such as thinking meditation is successful only when the mind is blank or when pleasant calm appears. Instead, Zazen is portrayed as training in intimacy with the present moment, with an attitude of patience and steadiness. A. Ken also connects Zazen to daily life, suggesting that sitting is not separate from relationships, work, or moral choices. The discipline of regular practice becomes a mirror that reveals habitual reactivity and opens space for more compassionate response. This topic benefits readers because it frames meditation as both simple and demanding simple in method, demanding in the commitment to show up consistently. The emphasis is on long-term practice rather than quick fixes, which helps readers develop a sustainable approach. Thirdly, koans and the role of inquiry. The book also highlights koan practice, a distinctive Zen method that uses concise stories, questions, or dialogues to press the practitioner beyond conventional thinking. A. Ken explains that koans are not riddles solved by cleverness, nor are they merely historical curiosities. They are tools for inquiry that challenge the habit of turning life into concepts. Through sustained engagement, often in relationship with a teacher, the practitioner learns to respond from direct experience rather than from secondhand ideas. This topic clarifies how koans function within a training system. They provide a structure for practice, a way to test insight, and a means of deepening beyond initial breakthroughs. A. Ken addresses the potential pitfalls, including the temptation to perform spiritual understanding, collect experiences, or treat koans as intellectual puzzles. He also emphasizes the importance of humility and honesty in the process, since koan work can expose the subtle ways ego tries to control outcomes. For readers unfamiliar with Zen, this discussion demystifies a practice often portrayed as obscure. For practitioners, it offers a reminder that koans are meant to transform perception and conduct, not simply produce impressive answers. The overall message is that inquiry is a lived activity, verified in how one meets each moment. Fourthly, precepts, compassion, and ethical practice. A. Ken gives significant attention to ethics, presenting the Buddhist precepts as integral to Zen rather than optional additions. He frames moral training as a natural expression of awakening, not a list of external rules imposed from above. The precepts offer guidance on speech, action, and relationship, and they reveal where self-centered habits still shape behavior. This topic is especially important for Western readers who may associate Zen primarily with meditation and assume ethics are secondary or culturally outdated. Aitken's approach helps readers see how practice matures when insight and conduct support each other. Ethical commitments become a way to bring mindfulness into conflict, desire, work, intimacy, and community life. He also addresses how compassion is not sentimental but practical, involving responsibility, restraint, and repair when harm occurs. By linking precepts to everyday situations, the book encourages readers to treat spiritual life as accountable and relational. This topic also implicitly helps readers evaluate communities and leadership, because a healthy Sangha takes ethics seriously and provides structures for reflection and correction. The result is a view of Zen that is balanced. Deep meditation and profound teachings are paired with ordinary decency, truthfulness, and care for others. Lastly, teacher, Sangha, and the shape of ongoing practice. A final major topic is the social and institutional dimension of Zen training. Aitken explains that Zen is traditionally practiced within a community, supported by teachers and fellow practitioners, and expressed through forms such as ceremonies, chanting, retreats, and work practice. Rather than treating these as mere decoration, he shows how they stabilize attention, transmit values, and create shared reference points for learning. The relationship with a teacher is presented as significant, not because of authority for its own sake, but because guidance and feedback can prevent self-deception and help practitioners navigate difficult stages of practice. At the same time, the book encourages discernment, implying that students should pay attention to integrity and the overall health of a community. He also explores how practice continues beyond initial enthusiasm. Regular sitting, periodic intensive retreats, and commitment to the Sangha provide a container for gradual transformation. This topic helps readers understand Zen as a way of life rather than a private technique. It also addresses practical questions. Newcomers often face how to start, how to join a group, what to expect at a Zen center, and how to integrate practice with modern responsibilities. The overall emphasis is continuity, where small daily efforts accumulate into steadiness, clarity, and greater freedom in relationship. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a clear, reliable entry into Zen Buddhism, and for meditators who sense that practice involves more than technique. Newcomers will benefit from Aitken's straightforward explanations of what Zen communities do and why, while experienced practitioners can use the book to re-examine fundamentals like Zazen, koans, and ethical training. It can benefit a reader's life by offering a cohesive path meditation that steadies attention, inquiry, that loosens rigid thinking, and precepts that translate insight into more skillful speech and action. Because the book connects inner practice with relationships and responsibility, it supports tangible change in how a person handles conflict, desire, work pressure, and self-criticism. It is worth buying compared to similar introductions because it balances history, doctrine, and hands-on guidance without turning Zen into either vague inspiration or overly technical scholasticism. Aitken writes from the perspective of a seasoned teacher, addressing practical realities of Western practice, including community life and long-term commitment. The result is a grounded roadmap that helps readers start well, avoid common misunderstandings, and deepen a practice that remains meaningful over time. If you would like to support Robert Aitken, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.